Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Joining us on the line is Phil Rumor, Buffalo Teacher Federation president, talking about the return to school. Phil, thanks for being with us once again. Want to ask you, first off, if you have heard anything about plans within the district to kind of further that return to in-person learning. Right now we have pre-K through grade 2, high school seniors are back in class on a very limited basis, but everyone in between grades 3 through 11, there doesn't really seem to be a plan for. Are you aware of any plan or any discussion to extend in-person learning?
The only thing I can tell you is that they have a what they call a district reopening committee that our vice president is part of, and all they have done is they have discussed it. They have mentioned it, but as far as we know, there is no plan yet. There's still a lot of concern about the safety in the schools, you know, about the MERV filters, et cetera. I mean, you ready for this? In one of the schools, the administrators were going into the classrooms where it says that, you know, let's say that there can be only 13 people in the room, and they were remeasuring and said, well, I think we can fit more people in here. It's just... The bottom line is, no, I haven't heard anything yet, but we have to make sure that when those kids go back that they're safe and they don't bring the virus home to their families.
Phil, teacher vaccinations. Governor Cuomo announced on Monday of this week that he's starting to collect data from districts. He's asking them to report on how many teachers in the districts have been vaccinated. Do you know what the numbers are here or percentages?
No, but most of the teachers I've talked to, and I talked to quite a few of them, are telling me that they're having a hard time, just like everybody else, as to getting the vaccine. They've said that they've tried and they've gotten canceled. It'd be interesting to know also, but, you know, one of the things that we have suggested is that some of the schools become hubs for distributing the vaccine. In other words, they're all in the community, certain places, and each school has a nurse. So that way that would facilitate the community and also the staff in the schools for getting the vaccines. But, you know, when there's such a shortage, I guess that they're not able to do it.
On that issue of teachers being vaccinated, the CDC says that should not be a prerequisite for returning to the classroom. Are you saying that it should? Do you agree with the CDC guidelines?
I think that, let's put it this way, I think that this vaccine should be made available to everybody and that it's very distressing to have, especially in poor communities where you don't have access to the vaccine. But let's face it, it's not just teachers, it's staff. I mean, there are teachers, teacher aides, there are all sorts of people in that building and you have lots of kids, so it's not like a grocery store where they're, you know, you're 6 feet apart or anything like that, so... It really is it's the current present danger, but I think that teachers should have been vaccinated, but I think if their buildings are clean and everything, the procedures are taken care of, that on a limited basis, I think that we can start bringing the kids back. The teachers want those kids back. I got news for you. Teachers more than anybody want to be back with their kids.
Okay, but you're saying that you agree with the CDC that it doesn't have to be a mandate.
I don't think that it needs to be a mandate. I think that they should be highly prioritized. But, excuse me, okay. I must be going through puberty. I had something caught in my throat. I think that it should be a high priority. I think that before a school is opened, they should take a look at the percentage of the teachers that have the vaccine. That teachers should be a high priority and get that vaccine. Because let's face it, we have so many kids that come into the school, and it's hard to keep the kids with their masks on, et cetera. And it's not like just about any place else where they have all kids from all over in the community, all across the community, coming into school and exposing, you know, each other to the disease. So is it preferable? Yes. Should it be a mandate? I don't know the answer to that. I would prefer to have all the teachers vaccinated. But I think that in a small scale, if the conditions in the schools are right and everything is done the way it's supposed to be, temperatures are taken, I think we can start having kids back in the school.
Is Buffalo falling behind right now in Rochester? Every single grade level has that option for hybrid learning. And Buffalo's kind of standing on its own right now as to where, you know, if you're a third or fourth grader, you still don't have that option to be in a school building. Do we need to hurry this process up?
Well, we don't have to hurry it up. What we need to do is make sure that what we do is have it safe when you go back. See, just hurrying is going to have exposed, especially parents and grandparents, to the virus. So it's not just about, well, let's hurry it up. The thing is, let's make sure that when we're doing it, we're making sure that we're not exposing the kids, the parents, the grandparents, the community, the teachers, the staff, to the virus. So you have to be careful when you do it. You just say, all right, let's move ahead, because, first of all, Rochester has less students back in school than we do, from what I heard. I talked to the president the other day. Excuse me.
They do have the option for every grade level, K through 12, right now, though. But, you know, to this point, you mentioned some of the risks involved. I mean, the American Academy of Pediatrics has been out the past couple of days raising the red flag, saying they've seen a huge drop in physical activity among kids that's posing a problem. And then they're also talking about mental health, children's hospital visits increasing, you know, 20% increase in suicide attempts in children, 40% increases in disruptive behavior disorders. I mean, these are very real problems that there is a direct correlation to not being in the building.
You're absolutely right. And that's why we want to make sure that the kids do get back into the building. I mean, teachers want to be back with their kids. They, like their parents and the kids, are going under so much stress also, because when you're teaching from home, it's not like you're there and then you go home. Well, teachers are teaching from home. They have their own kids. They're also spending a lot more hours working with the kids. Yes, we want them back in school too. I mean, but we want to make sure that it's safe for them and their parents. We don't want to become a California. You know what happened there?
What happened in California?
Well, what they did is they sort of relaxed. And then we hear now we got the new strain coming around in here. But, you know, we want to have the kids, the teachers, every teacher I've talked to said, look, I want to be back with my kids so bad, but I don't want to take a chance on having that spread and having the virus go into a home and into the community. We want to make sure it's safe. That's why we went to court. I mean, we went to court. Why? Because we want to make sure that those schools are safe. And, you know, thankfully, the district, you know, we had to go to court, but now the district is starting to look at the concerns. They're starting to make the corrections. We still have problems. We still have not enough custodians where they're supposed to clean the bathrooms after the kids leave and on. We don't have enough to do that. But, yes, everybody, we want those kids back. We want things the way that they were, but we don't want to risk people's lives.
Speaking with Buffalo Teacher Federation President Phil Rumor, you know, Phil, you've been saying you want it to be safe. You want it to be safe. I mean, there is really not evidence of spread in the school setting, right? And the CDC says this can be done safely. People wear masks in a school building, and it's relatively safe.
Well, the bottom line is that it hasn't been spreading in the schools because there haven't been kids full-time in the schools in all of the classrooms. So, of course not. But what do you want to do then? I mean, you know it can be spread. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Like, for example, in Buffalo, schools have been closed, so there's no spread.
Well, this is not just in Buffalo where this is looking at. This is looking across the country, including many districts where kids are back in school 5 days a week.
Yeah, and I can guarantee you that in those schools that they have the different conditions than we do. I've talked to presidents in other school districts. They have a lot more staff than we do. Like, let me just give you an example. When we were in court, we found that there are 11 schools without full-time engineers, where there's an engineer, you know, the engineer who's in charge of the custodians has to split between one or two or three schools. That's not happening in other places. We don't have enough custodians to do the work in the schools to keep those rooms sanitized, et cetera. So and our schools are older. So we're working on it. The district is working on it, but we have to make sure. You know, I don't think any of us want to be in a position where we say, oops, we went too fast, and there's a grandparent, there's a parent that passed because we weren't careful.
Phil, the federal government says that standardized tests will go on to assess where students are. They say that has to happen, despite objections from teachers. Why were you against this?
Well, it's not just teachers. I got news for you. You know, you heard, you remember that there is and there continues to be a parent uprising, and it was even before the virus, the opt-out movement, because, first of all, these tests don't test creativity, critical thinking. These test companies are the ones that are pushing this. If you ever go into a school, and I have, and seen the kids taking these tests, this is during normal times, head on their desk, tears, because they're under such stress from these tests. Now what you're doing is you're saying it was bad then and terrible on teachers, and the tests weren't really providing what we really want our kids to learn. You're going to say that you're going to make a kid take a test after they haven't been in school the way they should have been? Can you imagine the kind of stress that they're going to be under now? I got news for you. There's going to be a parents' movement again like you've never seen before.
Why do parents, students have to be stressed? If I understand these guidelines right, the federal government, U.S. Department of Education said, you know, tests would not be held against schools or districts. They can be pushed back. They can be shorter. It doesn't have to go toward any grade, but it's merely a tool to kind of see where we stand right now, especially after a year of interrupted learning.
But don't we care about the kids? Don't we care about how they feel? Isn't that more important than to put a kid through stress on a test that, first of all, many agree does not test?
Well, who creates the stress around the test? I guess that would be the question.
Taking a test. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of kids that when they sit down in front of a test and they're having a hard time with the test, because let's face it, it's not made so that they can all breeze through it.
Yeah, but tests are part of life. They go through tests all the time.
Yes, they do, but not a meaningless test that doesn't test anything, not a test where everybody's sitting around you. These are kids. We're talking about 3 through 8 kids that are sitting down. I've seen it. You take special education students, for example. Everybody wants it. Yes, you need to have assessments. You need to have assessments, but the assessments should be made so that they are testing the things that are important, creativity, critical thinking, et cetera. These tests, they have been shown, there's been many, many studies shown that these tests really don't test anything. But unless you've been there, unless you've seen kids, kids are under stress because they are taking the test. They're not like adults and say, well, okay. They're sitting in front of a test. They don't know the answer. They get under stress. And imagine that's how it was before. That's why parents are the ones that led the movement on the opt-out movement, to be able to have their kids out, because their kids would come home crying. Really, that's why the parents are the ones that are going to be upset with this as well.
It appears as though we're going toward, in New York State, Regents exams not being required for graduation. So there's more tests that wouldn't happen. Where is the assessment level? Where are we going to get that assessment of how much learning was lost? And are you concerned that, you know, with no Regents exams required for graduation, it appears that's going to be the case, that, you know, this bar for graduation is going to drop very low in the next year?
Well, you know something, I know when it comes to the Regents, yes, it's important to have something that you're doing. But once again, what we're talking about is not normal times. We're not talking about dropping the Regents during normal times. We're talking about dropping the Regents now, a standardized test for when kids have not had the same kind of access to teaching and learning that they've had in the past.
But that standardized test would not count against the student. It would not count against the school or even the district.
But you tell that to a student. You tell that to a third grader. You tell that to a special education student. You tell that to a third grader, a fourth grader, a fifth grader, a sixth grader. Oh, this isn't going to count. And then they're sitting there in front of the test, and they see there are other kids around them taking the test, some of them doing well on it. How do you think that they feel? I mean, I think people need to put themselves, step back, put yourself inside a child that's going through this. People don't do that. They look on the outside. Well, let's do this test. We do this. But think about it from inside a child.
All right. Phil Rumor, Buffalo Teacher Federation president, has been our guest over the past 10 minutes. That's Phil Rumor joining us live.